brings Parsha. Vayikitzel Moshe. Moshe gets angry at the attorney generals. So anger is an interesting type of thing. Right? It's something that kids go through. Everyone has to struggle with it, especially when they're people with parents. So we talk tonight about two ways to deal with anger. One way to deal with anger is called anger management. You're not trying to uproot anger. You're not trying to ask, why am I getting angry and I become angry? There's a conclusion. You're going to get angry. The question is, what are you doing with your anger? Anyone here of Thomas Jefferson? Thomas Jefferson wrote something called the Ten Commandments. Ten moral commandments. I guess he had a hard time keeping the original Ten Commandments. So one of Thomas Jefferson's Ten Commandments was, when you're angry, count to ten. When you're really angry, count to 100. Namely, people have to realize that anger is like a breathable resistance. It's coming off. What happens when you're angry? Your palms are sweating, your diaphragm rises, you're short of breath. You are apt to say things and do things that are humiliating, that are embarrassing to you. You can't believe you said and did. They'll hurt you or hurt others in irreparable manner. And what's the solution? Here I'm going to tell you what the solution is. Before I tell you what the solution is, I'm going to guarantee you, you're not going to solve it until you fail about 20 times. That's the only way. I have to go through that. You know how I know I can tell my anger now? It is repeatedly falling on my face and acting stupidly and saying stupid things. That, you know what? There's really nothing that I have to do with it. Very, very seldom in life are the situations that need immediate response. Whatever is making you angry, you can respond, you can say something, you can talk about it, you can do whatever you have to do in another day when you're not angry, when you're more calm, when you control your emotions, be able to do something more productive. The problem is anger convinces you, you can do something immediately. And until you train yourself, you know what? You're stupid. You're an idiot. You're going to fall on your face. You've been down this road. You say stupid things. You make an imbecile of yourself. Don't. It doesn't pay. It's not worth it until you can train yourself. I'm not going to do it. It's driving you nuts. I've got to do something. Until you learn to tap it, then you're going to fall on your face. And really, in my opinion, unless you're a really special person, the only way you can really get there is you're going to fall on your face. And nothing just happened. And no one ever gives you this advice. I'm going to fall on your face in my life. I'm giving you advice. Just, you know, Kale, make a little record of all the times you act like an idiot when you're angry. Maybe when you're 20, 23, 24, you'll probably get to the point. It just comes out. It's got to wait. It's got to be deliberate. Got to wait it out. Write it out. Because I'll say source number three. Amar Rava Bar Rav Huna. Ha-ha-kars. I'll be the shlinik in every question. When you're angry, you lose your balance. You lose the presence of your body. The Gemara says before, I was just messing with source number two. Zari Moslem, you throw your money across the room. Atari Pitova Hamasli, you tear your bread. Hamashabra's Gilad, you rip things, you punch things, you start. Kiyu Ovenevazan. Shahayyel, Omer lo Yitzhak Shabar's Gilad, because you are succumbing to something foreign. You're losing control. So you train yourself to lose control. So you are playing right to the hands of the Yitzhak. Today tells you to throw your. You pass across the room to break something, to smash something. You're doing something that's ridiculous, which no sane person would do. But you feel like, because I need to trigger your control, I don't need fucking control. And tomorrow, you're already susceptible. You're ready to control the exam. You want a good tactic to control your anger? Here's a good tactic. The next time you get angry, think of someone you really respect. Someone you've met in your life, whether you're your teachers, right, someone that you really, really respect. Imagine they were doing it. Would you be angry? You'd be embarrassed to be. You'd be embarrassed to act that way. When I get really angry, I think of my Rebbe Ruchatzin. If Ruchatzin were in the room, I wouldn't say that. I'd be too embarrassed. I'd be more concerned with how he sees me and his image of me. I wouldn't say that. Well, at some point, you shouldn't need to think of that person. You're never going to burn this person so clearly. You're not going to act that. You're not going to scream that. Why? The Gemara says, read the Gemara again in the dark. Amar Rav Bar Rav Huna, Kol HaKamayis Afilu Shechina, Eina Chashuva Kedem. No. Like, you can't have that sense of a Kodesh Baruch Hu if you're angry. Simply, if you had it, you would be angry. If you had it, you would be angry. In this week's Parsha, right? Right, right, perform that. In this week's parsha, Moshe gets angry at the returning generals because they didn't follow his cue, they didn't follow command, they didn't follow the women, whatever, they failed. But you can tell Moshe. Does anyone know what Moshe's punishment was? What was Moshe's punishment for being angry? For that symbol. Let's see. That's I'll say source number five. Source number five is Amos Ben Nasan. Amos Ben Nasan was like an expanded version of Kirby Amos. One of the first missions. Everyone know the first mission? Most of the people don't ever see that. Sarah Lee Yeshua, Shuan Skinim, Bumpadam, 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 Ajik Nasangala, Shimon Atzadik, Haim Shaykh Nasangala, Shimon Atzadik was the left guard of the Nasangala. The middle of the first mission of Mikdash, the first Tana, Shimon Atzadik, the first Tana. One of the three things he said, does anyone know the three things Shimon Atzadik said? Anyone? Hamidu told me the Marvah, I teach a lot of Torah. Because they're first starting the structure of Yeshiva. I'll try to teach Torah as much as he can. Asim Siyahu Torah, don't be afraid of a Chumrah. Sometimes Chumrah is too extravagant, sometimes again, out of control. People forget the difference between Chumrah and Meisalah. Every time the children say something, Abba, this is us, they say, no, it's not us, sir, it's a Chumrah. You know what to realize, Chumrah? We live in a very, very complicated world. 2008 was not easy. You guys know that we sell all the land to an Arab. We'll have the Mahira to allow Israeli farmers to continue to work the land and sell their products and to make sure that those who are not Shemitah sensitive will still eat something kosher. A lot of guys come to Eretz Israel and they're shocked. If only got to Israel, everything's kosher. In America, I thought it'd be something else. Everything's kosher. In Israel, it's so complicated. This hashkacha, that hashkacha, this hashkacha. What can I eat? What can I not eat? Tell you why it's so complicated. Very simple. In America, when the Rabbanim sit with Nabisco, or Empire Chicken, or the local restaurant, they have one interest and one interest only. How can we stiffen the standards of Hashkacha and make sure that it's as kosher as possible? That is our sole interest. We want it to be kosher. Nabisco, these are our demands. Kellogg's, these are our demands. Entenmann's, these are our demands. You mean it? You'll expand your consumer base by X thousand, 100,000 people. You know, it's your choice. You want to pay for Mashiach to meet it, you want to pay for these standards that you gave them, your choice. And then each company makes their calculated economical decision. It's probably, in most cases, a wise decision because it's not that expensive. It doesn't matter. It's not that expensive. It won't be good. You can sell for up to 40,000 more units, so you'll make $100,000. But now it's Israel. I'm not interested in that mind field, which is going to be. When Tanuva is a national poultry and produce supplier, fruits, vegetables, chickens, Tanuva. When they sit with, when the Rabbanim sit with Tanuva, the Rabbanim need Tanuva. We need the entire country to eat kosher at some level. It's important to me, not just that I eat kosher, that Jews and Kiyots want to eat kosher. I squat about kosher. But I will not eat kosher. I don't want to live in a country where people eat kosher. So in America, we've got the lepers, the rabbis. In Israel, who has the leverage? The rabbis or Tanuva? Tanuva knows it. They can assign it. At the end of the day, the kid won't get what I'm saying. Because the rabbis need Tanuva to be kosher. So what do you think happens the second the rabbis watch? Tanuva's not slapping. Yeah, right. So the levels of kashrus of Tanuva are very, very weak. They're fine, but especially in areas like me, so my family, we trust Tanuva for fruits and vegetables. It's one more important. But when it comes to meat and chicken, we don't have to. We don't just eat every meat and chicken. That's why it's to be careful. This, that, can be that, that, and chicken. But it's a source to live in our system, which is more than a plate. As I am in Tina, I'm going to Laura for I haven't worried about 6 million people eating kosher. That has to be worried. That's why after the chibur was enacted. That's it. Okay, so the 400,000, 700,000 don't teach you, you won't buy from Jews, and right, and everything will be healthy there. Yeah, the rest of the country will be able to. If you really feel this is redemption, then we have to worry that the country should be keeping some basic halacha, even if not keeping tariq business. Hatim Mechira, and 7 years ago, Hatim Mechira is a very flimsy end, but I didn't trust Hatim Mechira, and I'm thrilled that it took place. I was machmir only to eat Gentile products, and now, 7 years later, I don't touch Gentile products. I don't touch products. You know, I don't touch Badatz. Because Badatz buys from Arabs. Because it's Shemitah-wise, the best fruit. Yeah, Shemitah-wise, it's the best fruit. You're taking money, you're putting it into the hands of Arabs. Because every cent that enters us, where all the produce is coming from, every cent. said that in Gaza was like a mountain rise. And I feel that the figure he knew to eat had to mechira and to rely on that pula and to give money to murderers and be over and pick up that vision and did that in Brazil. But that's feels like I have to think of all the general calculations. So I always make for this contradiction and take care of this. Okay, that's their sheep. That's why when I go to a wedding, I make a big deal. And that's their sheep. They don't feel the real complaint. Now, this more halacha, you can't play with halacha. Oh, I'm not going to put on the phone because of the act. Yeah, that's what you do. I'm not going to keep Hilchos Nida. That's for sure. Firmness and coolness can be changed based on the circumstances. And I'm a posse, and a rich guy comes in and says, oh, some milk for all my chicken. I'll say, check the chicken. The caterer comes in, he's got $20,000 riding on that drop of milk. I'll look into my money roof. Do my best to find it. So Shimon HaTzadik said, teach a lot of Torah. Understand Chumrah, see the outside of the fence. And the third thing he said, having the sin of the day. Mesinim, look at the beginning of source 5. Having mesinim the din means be temperate, be deliberate, be relaxed, don't have a quick fuse, don't get angry, don't judge, don't snap, don't reach immediate conclusions. Think, deliberate, inquire, don't snap at people. And who snap? Moshe snap. Well, Moshe snapped in Parshas Hukas already when he gets angry at the rock. It's not because he hit the rock. It won't make a difference here. Don't get angry. Let more people together got angry. Yes, so this is where she got angry also. So it's number 5. Why number 2 should be Matzinim and Moshe? B'shamshay and Machbin al Gemara. He was Machbin. Why did you listen to me? You realize in time of war, people sometimes get a little confused. A little, okay, we forgot what you said. We're fighting a battle, Moshe. We weren't sitting and drinking near Monday. We're fighting Nietzsche. Okay, we forgot a little detail here and there. Moshe was Mishachach the bar, forgot his star. I haven't seen the Moshe name, Mishachach the bar. Where we see the Moshe forgot his star? This week, Parsha. Well, it's not later. You know, guys, Mikubal always say that you're learning and you come across a piece of Torah that has to do with that week's Parsha. It's a simon in Shemayim, your Torah is being accepted. There we are, this is learning, we bump through a Pasuk in Matos. Next week's Parsha, close. It's close to being established. I mean, still come back to my next one. Now, you tell Moshe, you got angry. So, therefore, when you honor Lazar, line number 4, Moshe Atava, and Lazar taught them the halachos because Moshe forgot them. Everyone listen carefully. Moshe forgetting the Torah is not a punishment for his anger, it's a result, it's a consequence of his anger. And I'll tell you why. I think we talked about this the other night. Who's a sports fan? Shmuel, I ask you to tell me, let's say most did well, you're a car, what are you, downtown, say, what's your sports team?
Baseball?
Yeah. Blue Jays. So if I ask you to tell me the Blue Jays record before you left, probably tell me, or you tell me, something important about sports that happened in your life 6 months ago. Probably tell me, you know, the score, the statistics, the MVP, who won the MVP in football, who won the MVP in baseball. I asked you to tell me the process you had 6 months ago. A little harder. Why do you remember sports and you don't remember the process? Because you care more about sports. That's why I said you can't change unless you're honest. Deep down, sports is more part of your kishkas than Torah. It is. If you forget Torah, it's just not important. Now I forget Torah also. I'm not putting you in any boat that I'm not swimming in. Rav Aaron Lechison told me, if you don't understand the process, it's not an intellectual limitation, it's a moral flaw. If you knew your life depended on process, you would do everything possible, everything humanly possible. You're just like, it's not what I see here. It's just another process. Retaining Torah, learning Torah, is not an intellectual exercise. It's seeing Torah as the Bar Hashem, it's appreciating the eternity of Torah. Hashem came to you tonight in dreams and Moshe, these are the words I have to say to you. You'd never forget them. And you saw every word of Torah, which I'm saying things to you, and you never forget those words either. Which in like the easy ones. Not you, no, okay? So the easy way, please. The second that Moshe gets a little angry, even a little bit, even Moshe's smile, very, very subtle. Second that Moshe's a little angry, his vision. Hashem, you see, because you can't be angry, Hashem's there. Hashem is not the one who can't be angry. One Hashem won't be angry because Hashem receives a little bit. Second Hashem receives, what happens to the star? And this is his grasp. This is loses that sentence that was brought before, but it doesn't see Hashem at all. Because he's angry. Moshe forgetting Tara, is that because Hashem? Ooh, you got angry at the Hashem. Moshe forgetting Tara is because the second that I'm angry, Hashem's presence starts to slip away, starts to evaporate, starts to erode. Oh, Hashem isn't here as powerfully as he was a few minutes ago? I'm not even around that myself. We'll talk about this later, but let me give you an example. The Gemara in Tumura says that Yeshua comes into Moshe's deathbed. Moshe's about to die. Moshe turns to Yeshua. Yeshua, ask me any questions you have. Last chance, and that's enough. You know what Yeshua says? Good to go. No questions. No, this is finally Yeshua's coming out for me. You know, all these years, the second fiddle to Moshe, he's more Moshe's disciple. Now Yeshua comes. That's my time to shine. I don't think he was arrogant to me with this, but he felt a little bit good about himself at school. They're very subtle. We can't judge Tzaddikim and Amor. A little trace of self-evaluation comes in. You know what happened that day? Yeshua the Gemara says he forgot 3,000 halachos. Was that an audition? Because your humility is a product of how clearly you see Hashem. You're not going to be egotistical and arrogant, condescending, and vain. Whatever I got, there's nothing compared to the rubbish. Nothing. It's like a drop in the water, a drop in the ocean. The second that you sense a little bit of gaiva, and less anava, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu sense a little bit less, because you can't have gaiva if you feel Hashem, Shavis Hashem, and next time you're standing looking at Hashem, you have gaiva, you see, it's stupid. Gaiva in front of the melech. Second, you feel gaiva, the melech's not there, the melech's not there, you can't be tarot, because you don't see Hashem as deeply. You don't see the tarot, and you don't know the gaiva as deeply. So Moshe gets angry because he sees Hashem as. When you are angry, you are facing that challenge. Right then, right there. Can I manage to maintain Hashem's presence? That's your goal, Shavis Hashem Negeti Sadr. And again, I talked to you this the other night. I told the other group, Shavis Hashem Negeti Sadr does not mean you think about Kadosh Baruch Hu every minute. That is a falsehood. Lenegeti means Hashem is your framework, he's your context. When you're learning, what are you thinking about? Tosis. When you're driving, what are you thinking about? The pedestrians. When you're performing surgery, what are you thinking about? I hope the surgery. Especially if you're my surgeon. Please. Don't become my surgeon and all of a sudden say, oh, I'm thinking about a Kadosh Baruch Hu. I'm thinking about Kadosh Baruch Hu. Oh, I get there. You think about the surgery. You think about the math book. You're playing basketball, you're not thinking about a Kadosh Baruch Hu. You think about who to pass to. It's a lie. But Hashem's in that context. Everything you're doing, Hashem's there. Therefore, I'm doing surgery because I want to heal people. Therefore, I'm raising money. I want to raise my family. Therefore, I'm driving to do something important. Hashem's the reason. Hashem's the impetus, the motivation. Then there are moments of deeper attraction to me. Like, now I'm just thinking about Hashem. Or general, I'm just thinking about Hashem. I say something, and I'm just thinking about Hashem. I'm only thinking about that. That's the goal. She's Hashem and I do something. And that is being challenged. I'm not telling you about Hashem not to be angry. There are things in life that will make you angry. And you, and me. The question is, what happens when it says, do you fall back into it, or do you say, I will not act foolishly? A, because I train myself that it's stupid. Even if I weren't a religious person, it's just not wise. B, because if Hashem were really here, and he is here, I wonder if I can. And it doesn't work with Hashem, at least at the beginning. Think about someone that impresses you, someone that you look up to, someone with standards you admire. And that person, how would that person act? It's very hard. It takes a lot of inner strength. Parents say something to you, really hurts you. Friends say something to you, really hurts you. You've got to change. You've got to train. We're going to talk about Hashem later in the year about the Nidah Beilis. Rambam feels that every single trait should be right in the middle. Should you spend all your money, should you be miserly, right in the middle? Should you be happy all the time, or should you be morbid, right in the middle? But there's two traits. The Rambam says you should not be in the middle. Two traits, you have to be to a further extreme. What are they, Lenny? One, guys and cows. You should have no trace of arrogance in you. We'll talk about guys and humility. and you should have no trace of kas. The Rambam writes, source number four, yesh deos she'asra lo liyadam linam ben the bengalis. There are some traits you should not have bengalis. The chinam kas is in your body. Kas is a terrible mina. Six lines in the bottom. God kores gilal yom azara. Kol kores. Six lines in the bottom. Im chacham ho, chacham asam istel like this mimen. Im nabi ho, nimu asam istel like this mimen. O baal and kas en chayem chayem. Said this last night. What's the only issue about kas? Unfortunately, you see where it breaks down. There's chaos and rogues and anger. It's just in chayim chayim. It's like a living Gehenna. Some people start Gehenna early. All the fighting and the screaming and the lack of compromise. It's just, and like I said, everything else is contagious. So you have chaos at home, and it's not only chaos of people around you, and chaos at work, and chaos your whole life is chaos, chaos, chaos. When you're in chaos, your whole soul is in riot, is in uproar. It's like this. You know, sometimes I get angry. Sometimes my wife says, I'm not going to be embarrassed. Sometimes my wife and I fight. No such thing as marriage is that occasional fight. Family is not about that fight. It's about how we're going to make up and get along and continue. Sometimes I'm well fight. I just can't sleep at night. I can't sleep a wink. My mind, my body, my soul is in at rest. And then the next day, I can't produce anything. I lose a day. I've lost the day. The biggest tragedy is if you're crying. I've lost the day. There's not much I care about. In chayim chayim. Now, don't confuse kas with indignation. Indignation is good. You see injustice. You see people taking advantage. You want to rise. So that's not kas. Kas is, I hate you. You're making me angry. You're really, it's a personal vendetta. Personal anger. In chayim chayim. So the first thing to think about is, okay guys, let's all take it as a given. I'm going to get angry. Let's not go there. Let's not fool ourselves. We're going to get angry. Okay. What do you do when you get angry? Learn to wait. Learn to hold your tongue. We talked about that 2 minutes in the finish. Shtika is a great tool for chaos. Okay? Angry. Breathe. Nothing needs to be emailed. Write this down in your notebook. The Targum told us nothing ever needs an immediate response except for CPR. Someone has asked, anything, give him CPR. That's how the Targum said you should wait and think about it, be deliberate. Give him CPR. Everything else, guys dying, you gotta do it. But they're very, very, life isn't that way. Life is not as quick and immediate thing ever you can do today. Cast in it the other ways. Deep breath. Okay, we get to walk away. Another great tool of cast. Nothing can make you angry if you don't know that. Sometimes you have to learn something from the vision that you want to know about life. You want to know about everything. I learned the things in my life that cause me pain, that make me angry. Try not to know about them. Try not to look at them. Some things that are possible. Your world, you know, I'll take the other road, I'll not be in this minion, I won't think about it. People don't know that, are they? They can get drawn into gossip, they get drawn into anger. Right, you see, we actually don't go there, don't talk about this. Don't go to that pizza shop, just don't go. Selective vision, selective encounter. What about the encounter? Keep it.
What about the encounter?
So that's ideological battle. That's indignation. You sense injustice, you sense antithesis of there's reference value systems here. I'm talking about the mix it up in the schoolyard and the JC, oh, I hate you, Mario. People in your world, not icons of evil, like Hitler or Mollinger. Another form of kas, not related to kas. Turn the page. The Lazar of kas is source number 7, it's related to kas. What do you bring a carbon from? Could you imagine the following carbon? I go sailing the high seas. I capture a humpback whale. Dragging thousands of miles back to the temple in Jerusalem. Me and Herman Melville. I captured Mofadik. And I haul him into the Beis HaMikdash and I plunge him into the desk, onto the staff, and I slay him in the middle, cut open his belly, bone him, and all his guts come falling out in this lay of my commitment to Hutzbar. I go hunting with the tongues that I have about vicious seared diamonds. Claw them! They're kept in a cage. And they're ferociously roaring at me throughout the whole trip back. And I slit his throat on the altar as blood was gushing out. Who likes shark week on Discovery Channel? I love shark week. Imagine great white. Come to the water. And the netting, the drawers of the bum 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 bum, and I grab back the face of it. And yet, that one of the things is carved by the sheep and the bird. We took the birds the other night. Yeah. So the member says, verse number 7, why these animals? Ah, Bikarbanos came, I'm not going to spark from Shar, near enough of Mary. A lion is a predator. A is the thing on there, a leopard is a predator. Kepas and Maziat, a wolf is a predator. Lo, Sakribu, the family of Yinarokim. Elamiani, I don't want sacrifices for prayers. I want sacrifices for the prey, not prayer. I want sheep, goats, birds, and cows, not lions, tigers. Ask yourself the following question. Are you a predator? What does it mean to be a predator? I call this a really sick form of predators. And unfortunately, we have in our world sexual predators, physical predators. Okay, let's hope we never come into contact with those types of people. Although, some of the ills of modern society, there are situations that if you ever have to show them, see you have responsibility, not to blow up a whistle and start taking responsible citizens, consulting with someone responsible, who will go to the right people and look into it. I've had over the past 5 years, people turn to me with accusations about different personality issues. Rabbi said, you know, I was aware of, oh, that rabbi, he's a sexual predator, he acted inappropriately with a girl in a plane or anything. I didn't blow the whistle in the guy's career. I called up the yeshiva when she brought it. I said, look, these issues have been brought to my attention. Please look into it. I called one person and said, you decide. I trust you to decide whether what I'm hearing is true or not and take appropriate action. I called someone I could trust. If I would have blown the whistle, I would have done what I wanted. I used to walk home from shul every day in a lunch foot. I saw you being a lunch foot for Shabbos. I walk home from shul every day and here in one house, these people were screaming at each other. The mother, the father, the children screaming, screaming, screaming. Like, goodness, I gotta go to the police. Before I went to the police, I went to the neighbors. Oh, and they're not physically violent, they just started. They don't have to scream a lot. Okay? As long as you're on top of the situation. Are you on top? Oh, they were rocking that version. As long as you're on top of the situation, we'll get to the version later. Okay? There are other forms of prayers. What do we say each year in Kippur? Nesos, Alchei, Chukhmanu, Tanechim, and Stias Reba. We pray at our friends. We want to trap them. We want to capture them. We want to hurt them. We put all these things into place just so that they can lose and we can win, so they can suffer and we can gain, so they can be embarrassed. What do we set our friends up to? We pray. Okay. You ever find yourself being a rodent, running after someone? Not running after them to ask them the time, running after them, really running figuratively, I mean, running physically. And even if you haven't found yourself to be that type of predator, are you just an aggressive person by nature? You got prey, preying on people. Okay, you know, yeah. Some people are really predators. They'll set this up, set that up, talk to this one, set this up, you know, they'll really, really act in a predatory fashion. Aggressiveness. Some people are just chronically aggressive people. I don't mean physically aggressive, I don't destroy your eyes or a punch. I mean just they act disrespectfully, they push their way, they get their way by threats and fear tactics and loud and pushy and unlike the bullies, everyone makes way for the bully. She was more aggressive. She wants to be allowed. Again, she wants you to be a victim, she needs to be self-victimly. Chas v'shalom, don't give that message. You know what's that message? You know, I was caught in prison, a victim one. I said, this is not an ounce of bigotry in this statement. The black community in America. Whatever problems the black community faces, they're trying to turn themselves and change it. It's all the white man's fault. It's the problem. Slavery was 180 years ago. That you can't impute single parenting to slavery. There's a problem in the black community. If I will now in that community, how can we solve it? Not how can we lay blame on other people. It's always easy to be the victim. It's always easy to be defenseless, powerless. Blame on other people. It's always easy to find a fellow. Scapegoat. Judaism doesn't celebrate victim. But it's a far cry between being a victim and being an oppressor. And if you want to start to change who you are, not just the anger, but the aggressiveness. There's always an easy way to fulfill a need of yours, and that's to say things, do things, act in disrespect, and aggressive, and pushy. Start with food. I always like looking at the guys in the shiva when they come to my house and they put out a plate of food or cake or chocolate or whatever. I tell a lot about people. Really easy. Was it always like pushing their way through to eat the first food? What's more important, your pride and your dignity or your stomach? That's an easy answer. I will never, ever, ever sacrifice my pride and my self respect for my stomach. Anyone here from Brooklyn? I remember, my parents lived in Flowers about 8-9 years ago. In Ramah, it was late at night, getting a lot of chinos and tests like I had. Ramah had held that day like 20 innings, man. I started home like at 11:30 at night, I hadn't eaten all day. And once the only store opened late at night in Brooklyn, Kosher Delight. So I walk into Kosher Delight to get a sandwich or whatever, late at night. First thing I eat all day, I take the sandwich, sit down at the table. You should have seen the queers and weirdos that were kosher like that night. I mean, it's like the bar scene in Star Wars. I mean, it was just like, one guy was weirder than the next. Weirder than the other. They were sitting there throwing French fries up in the air, grabbing them, and I was like this. I don't know where I was. I took my sandwich, put it back into the bag, tossed it into the garbage, and I went, I'm not going to sacrifice my dignity and self-respect for you. Couldn't there. For me, eating is not a gas station. Just fill up. That's excellent. Fill me up as quickly as possible. Throw it down. Is that a way out? Your humanity is under the greatest danger when you're acting like an animal. And there are times in life that you're close to that. Like when you eat, when you go to the bathroom, all these things you close out, that's when you have to protect your dignity. Possibly this matters, your dignity is in a sandwich. But it's in the bathroom, in the shower, and when you're in here at this moment. So just to make sure you don't descend to the moment of death. You know, I can tell a lot about someone with a drug. You want to see if someone's an aggressive person, look at the way they drive. It means if you want to be less aggressive, train yourself to be less aggressive. The drug, and the drug by nature, can bring out your aggressiveness. Some of you are starting with drug for the next couple of years. You start to take lessons, right? You want to take lessons already. You want drug yet? Okay. So you have to be very, very careful because you don't know in a split second. I'm sure your parents have taught you. But forget driving wild and irresponsible to class. off your land to someone, or you have tailgate, some things you may know people feel uncomfortable, you flash the lights at them. Do you or do you drive and respect the people in the roadways? Respect. I'm sure you've heard these phrases before, and you're driving us and respect other motorists, but it really is a sign of who you are. Because not just anger, guys, it's also the act of wrestling. But the big question is, okay, you can maintain your anger, you can wait it out, but how do you eliminate anger? How do you manage to eliminate anger? Not maintain it. So I'll give you an answer, guys, but before I give you an answer, I want to tell you, I want you to listen, and then not think about it for 10 years. Because you won't be able to succeed for the next 10 years. For the next 10 years, work on anger management. And then when you work on anger management, when you're 25, 26, then you can get to anger elimination. Very, very seldom can a kid your age really eliminate the anger. And sometimes if you set your bar too high and you fail at that, you fail at even lesser levels that you could achieve. Sometimes you can be too ambitious for your own good. So let's take healthy, reasonable ambitions. Reasonable ambition is you're not going to scream at your parents, you're not going to scream at your friends, you're not going to throw things against the wall, you're not going to break things, you're not going to put your fist through a wall, you're not going to break the television set, you're not going to scream at the people in the street. You'll get angry, but you'll wait it out for them. You won't wait it out and find something in you yourself and you realize you can't. What's the golden secret of eliminating anger? Well, let's read the stories I know of, and you'll see the answer. Open up your books, turn the page back to source number 6. Al tihi noach lichos. Since the Mishnah of Rabbi Yehuda was, don't become quick to anger. Nelamei shei anav ki helozah. No, you reduce anger if you're humble. Why? Because anger is always a product of me. I have needs. I have rights. I have privileges. I am important. I need to get where I'm going. I need to drive faster. And you are either intentionally or unintentionally ruining and limiting my needs. Is either a person or a situation how you get into the wrong line in the tunnel, the wrong toll line, and the motorist in front of you doesn't have their money right away? Because I am more important than that. I am going right now to be home with my family to watch the Blue Jays game. Where I need to be home quickly, and how dare that person get in my way? Or the person on the plane who was making too much noise, or was too overweight, or was eating too sloppily, and my flight is being ruined. My needs. Because I deserve it. And it should be obvious that one's demise who is, and you're just an average person. You don't feel good anything coming to you. You don't have any explanations. Yeah. I will read the story to you. I'll give you a personal example. What I learned about this, about myself. And I won't do that. I lived for 3 years in America before I met Ali as a married person. I lived in Richmond. 2 years before college, 2 years after college, I came back for 3 years to America to earn some money to make Aliyah. I remember those 3 years. I travel a lot, give shiur, I work a lot, get stuck in traffic all the time. New York's always traffic, right? So angry. Came to Eretz Israel, got stuck in a traffic jam. Happiest man in the world. That's just not what changed. Same traffic jam, same waste of time. You know what I realized? I said, I'm in America, I felt like I was living one block ago. I don't want to be there. I don't want to live in America. I want to be there. I have to be there. I'm going to stop. My cousin says, I need to be there, earn money to start my family with. But if I have to be here anyway to accomplish X, Y, and Z, now that time that I don't want to be here has been taken by a traffic jam I was living. Can't take the cell home, so I want to be. I don't live here. So living here means sleeping, eating, drinking, running, and getting caught in traffic, okay? I mean, I'm not happy about it. I got caught in traffic last night on the way home, but I didn't feel like, somewhere I don't want to be. There's a predicate to anger. There's a subcontext to anger. There's that baseline, because I have an interest. interest, and that interest is being blocked by you or by some faith or some circumstance, and that makes me angry. What would happen if you were humble enough and healthy enough not to harbor those expectations? I don't have anything coming to me. Whatever I get, I value. And whatever I don't get, I'll do the best under those circumstances. Story goes, two people out of bed, and we make y'all angry. You know the story?
Yeah.
So the guy shows up at Hillel's door on Shabbos. Hillel's taking a shower, 5 minutes of Shabbos. Manager says, Hillel answers the door. Hillel, I got an important question. What's an important question? Why do Babylonians have webbed feet? That's what you're asking me now. He gives me some answer. 5 minutes later, Hillel comes out of his bathroom one. Why do Asian people have slit eyes? The guy was just trying to make him angry. He didn't really care about this. Now you're trying to win the bet. So you're trying to make a line of asking stupid questions in our shops. You know, we see this sometimes in the best marriage. You've got 40,000 things to take care of, and I've got 2 things to take care of them. A guy comes up and he makes marriage. Remember, there are a poor quote. What's the question? Should I scratch my nose? This is where I scratch my nose at. It's more or less what he's asking. Let me say it like that. Okay, that's going to be tough. Okay. Scratch your nose this way. Sometimes boys aren't interested in the question. They just want to spend time. One view. I got the moments of retirement. What's the time yet? I have a question. Okay, what's your question? That was cool. That was cool. Why was it all come? You didn't even mention that. I don't feel as I pay myself before he didn't expect me. The world over the favor. Part of the problem being affluent and wealthy is you think the world owes you a favor. When you think the world owes you a favor, those favors aren't forthcoming. You can be good and angry. What happened if you weren't small? You didn't think the world owed you anything. You took whatever you got and happened for you. That's how you live here. Humility. We'll talk about humility next week. But not just humility. Don't expect free gifts. Don't expect. Everyone's looking for the free lunch. Everyone's looking. I know this is my kids also. That was into the raffle of the school. No scratching on the car. I said, guys, don't expect anything free in life. What you earn, you appreciate. What you can't earn, you probably don't need anyway. Just relish what you have. Stop trying to look for the free lunch. What you have to have. And that's how he'll eliminate his anger. So store it away. You don't have to think about it now. Okay? I give you an answer. Charlie, don't think about it. Gershon, don't think about it. 10 years ago, you think about it. But you think about honesty, you know. Think about one thing. More importantly, when you get angry, wait it out. Please learn to wait it out. It is a brief lunacy. If you can wait it, it will pass. I'll be better off for it. Okay? Shabbat Shalom. I want everyone to tell me where you're going to be for Shabbos. Whatever's not going to be in Gush, but say goodbye and tell me where you're going to be, Shmuley.
Yes.
On your way out, you're not going to be.